We all please stand. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name that I've ever known. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name that I've ever known. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. You are the light to my heart and my soul. You are the light to the darkness around me. You are the hope to the hopeless and broken. You are the only truth and the way. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name that I've ever known. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name than I've ever known. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. You are the life to my heart and my soul. You are the light to the darkness around me. You are the hope to the hopeless and broken. You are the only truth and the way. Welcome to Open Door Baptist Church, everybody. We're glad to have you all here this morning. Happy New Year. Happy New Year! All right, I'm glad to start off 2022 with praise in the name of our Lord Jesus this morning. We all please bow your heads as we open with a word of prayer. Dear Lord God, I praise you and I thank you, God, that we can come here and start this new year, God, worshiping the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who we just last week celebrated his birth coming to us to shed his own blood to redeem us from the sin that we could not redeem ourselves from, God. And I thank you and I praise you for that. And as we worship you here this morning, God, open our hearts, God, that we can look to you and thank you and praise you and love you, God, with the songs that we sing and the word that we're going to hear from you this morning that you've given to Larry to give to us, God. I ask the anointing of your Holy Spirit to be upon this service. And I thank you for all of this. In the name of your Son, Jesus, amen. Y'all may be seated.
Good morning. Well, During the Christmas Eve service and last Sunday, you all gave a total of $3,848.34, giving us a total of $7,349.61 for our Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Thank you so much for your generosity, and I ask that you please continue to pray for our missionaries around the world throughout the rest of this year. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. Will you all please stand as we continue worshiping this morning? We will glorify the King of Kings.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before His throne. We will worship Him in righteousness. We will worship Him.
Song, I was thinking about the shepherds, you know, praising Jesus. They come from the fields, they seen the star, they knew He was the Christ, and they came and praised Him. And then sometime later, I'm not sure how much longer later, from the time when the wise men come from the basement to the upstairs in the manger scene, and they worship Him again because they all knew that it was through Christ and in Him alone. The Christ, the Christ I live. the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Let us pray. Father God, here we are to worship. That's why we have come here, is to worship you. We bow our hearts before you. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that you are honored by this praise that comes from our hearts. Lord, we want it to be pure. We want it to be true. We want it to be out of love that we have for you, that we worship and lift up your name. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Father, that you would receive this worship with glad tidings of great joy. Lord, that we would offer it to you from a pure heart. heart. So, Lord, we ask your blessing upon this worship. Ask your blessing upon this service. Ask your blessing upon me to preach your word. And as always, Lord, if I'm not the one, that you would rise up the one to speak for you this day. So, Lord, be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good morning. Happy New Year. Well, let me start out by this. I've had everybody and their brother ask me about Randy and Haas. And I told a couple people, listen, I will make an announcement because I was just repeating myself over and over. Well, first of all, Randy and Haas are both in the Lord. Right? So that's that. Now, Randy is not doing well. There's no change. They have suggested to the family that they bring hospice in. Apart from a divine intervention from the Lord, Randy most likely will not leave the hospital. He is not transferring any oxygen on his own. It's just, if he moves any at all or does anything at all, his oxygen levels just drop drastically. So he's on a very high amount of oxygen. And like I told you there before Christmas, Randy says he says that he's in a win-win situation. So I understand for us, we don't like that. It's a blessing for him, but it's a sad blessing for us because we will miss him. And Haas, if that guy could just get two steps forward without going three steps backwards, right? So Haas is, how would you say, okay, but not okay. He's okay, but he's not okay. I mean, he was going very well through his therapy, his physical therapy. He was making leaps and bounds. They found a spot on his bladder, which they thought was a blood clot. The doctor went in with a scope, nicked his bladder, had to do emergency surgery. So they had to open him up. So now he can't do physical therapy because he's got an incision. And then a couple days after that, they came in and said that they found a pocket of fluid below his left kidney. So they had to go in and take that out. So you understand what I'm saying. So he was doing really, really well, and then he kind of got set back. But there's one thing that we know about that hardhead. He's a fighter, right? He will not give up. And you know what we're not going to do? We're not going to give up praying for them in God's will either. So continue to do that. Also, I got to talk to Nancy Petrel for a while, actually. And she said to tell you all that she loves you and she misses you. And she's actually doing somewhat better. So she just wanted me to relay that to all of you. All right? Hey, look, I understand this is hard. But we know who our Savior is. And look, I feel bad that they're all going through this, but you know, we're all going to go there, every one of us. But look, we can rejoice in the fact that all these that we're talking about are all secure in the relationship with Jesus Christ. So we can rejoice, right? God's not without a plan, right? And God is not without a vision, by the way. That's the title of the sermon, Vision. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Again, Happy New Year. I say that. Last year went fast, didn't it? I mean, think about it. But thank goodness, because it was a rough one, right? Right? And so, look, we can only assume that it's going to get better. We want it to get better. But generally, this time of year is when everyone is talking about New Year's resolutions. You see them on TV. You hear people talking about it. I heard people talking about it at the hospital just the other day. The ladies at the nurse's station were talking about New Year's resolutions. Now, I didn't even bother making any resolutions this year because I have not been successful with keeping them in the past. I still got it, right? I haven't been successful keeping them in the past, so I thought, why bother, right? I mean, why keep doing it if you're right? But did anyone here make a resolution last year? Did anybody here make a resolution last year that kept it? Not a single one. You?
I didn't make any. I kept it.
Oh, you did make any. Okay. Yeah, right? So how many people didn't bother making a resolution this year? Like me, you didn't bother. Yeah, right? Because you knew you would fail, right? Probably, right? Well, let me tell you what the word resolution means. The word means this: the state of quality or being resolute, or a firm determination, a course of action determined or decided on. So basically it means this. It means I have decided to do something and I'm going to do it. It's already been determined in me and by me to do it. All right? That's what it means. I've determined in me and by me to do it. So why then do we fail so many times when we make a resolution? How can we fail when we are so firmly determined? We set out at that front of that year, we make everything, and we are determined we're going to keep it. How do we fail? You know, I was reading the other day about vision boards. Does anyone know what that is, what a vision board is? You know, anybody know? Yeah, a couple of hands, right? All right. A vision board is a collage of images that represent goals and dreams. It can include cutout pictures from magazines and words, that you cut out and paste on there that help inspire you to manifest your dreams and get you to where you want to go. That's according to Psychology Today. Now, a vision board looks something like this right here. Now, this is an example I found on the internet, but obviously this person's vision for the year is to get more sleep, right? That's the first thing up there, is to get more sleep. Maybe eat a little healthier. Maybe work on her relationship with her significant other. Do a better job of caring for her teeth in her retirement. And obviously, this must have been after 2020 because she wants to make sure she always is stocked up on toilet paper. And she is going to be focused on being successful at literally everything. Now, also according to Psychology Today, research suggests that a vision board can help us, according to them, research suggests that a vision board can help us more easily reach our goals, because vision boards help us gain self-awareness and self-reflect on what is important to us. Now, the article I read said this, quote, "Vision boards may also help us imagine what a positive future could look like for us. Imagining a positive future is a helpful way to increase positive emotions and optimism. And positive emotions often create opportunities and increase the chances of success." Positive emotions often create opportunities and increase the chances of success, end quote. So there you have it. Now you know the secret to success in 2022. I just gave it to you. The secret to success in 2022 is a vision board. All right, so make it all up. Let's go home, okay? Or maybe in truth, not as much a vision board as a vision itself. Now, the word vision, according to the dictionary, means the ability to think about or plan the future with imagination or wisdom. That's what the word vision means, according to the dictionary. The ability to think about or plan the future with imagination or wisdom, meaning this: there is a plan in place, and there is the power to accomplish that plan or to bring it to completion. Like looking at a picture of your IRA, right? You are seeing it, and you're thinking about it, and you make a plan to bring it to completion. We all look at our retirements. We all are always focusing on that, right? But we all want to get this plan to bring it to completion. Or you see that picture of your significant other and the smiling faces, and you think of the good times, and you put a plan into motion to work on the good times, even when there are bad times. and you see that toilet paper all stacked up there, you remember the shortage. And you don't ever want that to happen again, so you make a plan to buy a 12-pack every time of toilet paper every time you go to go shopping, all right? So you make a plan to stock up, right? So you get what I'm saying, right? You have a vision for what you want to happen, and you make a plan for that to happen. And for our Proverbs 29, verse 18, Solomon penned these words, Proverbs 29, 18, King James Version I'm going to read out of. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So what does that mean? What in the world does that mean? Well, let me read it to you from a few other versions to see if it brings any further clarity to you. Out of the New King James Version. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. NIV. Where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. The ESV, which I particularly like this one the best. ESV, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. The NASB, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. And again, the King James, where there is no vision, the people will perish. So let's break this down. The word vision in our text is the Hebrew word kazon. Kazon, it means revelation. It comes from the root word kazah, which means to gaze, to mentally perceive or to contemplate with pleasure. To behold, to look, to prophesy, to provide, to see. And then there's the phrase, the people perish. Now that phrase is not what you think. Because when we hear the word perish, we think unsaved people dying in sin. That's kind of the first thing that I came to when I thought that it was people who don't know Christ that they are going to perish, unsaved people dying in sin. But here, it is the word para, and it means to loosen. That's what that word perish there means. It means to loosen. It means to be unrestrained. And some of the versions of this text that I read you earlier use those exact words. So this verse in its truest meaning would be this. Where there is no revelation, where there is no word from God. That's the correct translation. Where there's no revelation, where there's no word from God, the people are loosened. The people cast off restraint, or the people are unrestrained. So let me tell you what that means. It means the people abandon themselves to their own sinful ways. Is this beginning to sound familiar to you? The people abandon themselves to their own sinful ways. Now listen, this means Christians as well as non-Christians. Now let's finish out the verse. Look what it says. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And listen, I'm not saying that God wants you to be happy. That's not what this says. Don't misinterpret that. It says, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. In every version says just about the same thing. All those versions I read you, they all say just about the same thing for the second half of that verse. They all read the same. So what the writer is saying here is that keeping, obeying God's law, obeying God's word, obeying God's command brings happiness. It brings blessings from God. I want you to think about your if you have children. Listen, some people bribe their children to be good in Walmart. I never did that. I expected my kids to be good in Walmart. I didn't tell them I was going to buy them this and give them this as a reward for being good. I expected them to be good. And listen, if they were being good, when I got to Walmart and we were there and they were being well-behaved, as they should be, I was more apt to buy them something they wanted because they were acting like human beings should act. So he's saying here this, and keeping God's law brings happiness, it brings blessings from God. So with that in mind, I thought this would be the perfect way to usher in 2022. Just seems weird saying that, right? Now, previous to the holidays, we finished up a series in Judges where the overwhelming theme was what? What was the overwhelming theme of the book of Judges? Everyone did what was in his, right? That was it. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. But God's word says that when you do what is right in God's eyes, that is when blessings will come. Remember Judges, they would repent and they would get back in God's will and they would start worshiping God as they were supposed to be worshiping God. And God turned things around for them. God's blessing came. You see that? That's when blessings will come when we are in God's will, obeying His will. Listen, Open Door for 2022, I want all of us corporately and individually to catch this vision right here. I'm not going to ask you to make a resolution, but instead I want you to catch a vision. And listen, you can make yourself a vision board. If you feel like that will help you, go ahead and do that. But in reality, God has already done that for us. It's right here. That's the vision board. It's right here. It is our vision board. I told you earlier that Psychology Today tells us that vision boards may help us imagine what a positive future could look like for us. You can imagine what a positive future will look like for you if this becomes your vision board. You see that? But I'm here to tell you that this vision board, this Bible, not only can help us imagine what a positive future could look like for us, but just as important, I can show others. This is the important part. Yes, it's for me, but it's just as important. It can show others what a positive future can be like for them. Church, we're losing. We're losing. This year, in a time when everybody does what is right in their own eyes, I would like us to do what is right in God's eyes. And to be that living revelation, a living revelation, to give that vision in our own communities and even in our own families, amen? Therefore, I want us to take into ourselves, the Word of God, and then I want us to go and reveal God's Word and give a vision, right? Give a vision to people who are unrestrained. We can't go and try to restrain somebody when we ourselves are not restrained. We first need to catch the vision so that we can go be a living vision, a living revelation. To give a vision to people who are unrestrained, to people who have abandoned themselves to their own sinful ways, just like they did in the book of Judges, when everybody did what was right in their own eyes. Now, there could not be a more accurate statement in 2022. Think about it. There could not be a more accurate statement going into 2022. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Even us Christians are guilty of this. Many Christians have become very laxed in our daily lives in living for Christ. And we are moving. We're moving away from God's word and godly living inside the church, who's supposed to be the image of Christ. So before we can cast our vision, before we can cast the revelation of God, we need to genuinely remember our own vision. The revelation that God made to us when He called us as His own. Do you remember that when He called you unto salvation? You had this vision that God revealed to you of who He is and who you are and what He has a gift for you. We need that, regain that. It's called the joy of your salvation. So we too need to take in the Word of God. Take it into ourselves, for ourselves, and as a church as well, for God to mold us and shape us into a true biblical church as the Scripture reveals we should be. That's first and foremost. Also, I want us to strive to grow and expand. I want us to grow and expand as a living body, living for Christ. And listen, this means that some of you are going to have to step up. You're going to have to. I don't know if you notice or not, but every one of the males that has died is a teacher. Oh, yeah, put it on me. Go ahead. I'll take it. I'll do it. I'll take it all. I'll do it all. But we will decline. We will decline. You see a pastor in a church that's doing it all, they got about 12 people. Because you want to know why? That's all he can take care of. I'm just being honest. We got to get serious, people. Look at our society. Look where we're at. Look at our families. Listen, we need some ambassadors for Christ to step up. Listen, yeah, it's going to cost you. If it didn't cost you, you shouldn't do it. It's going to cost you. I'm going on a rabbit trail, I know. What am I trying to say? Where there is no vision, where there is no revelation of God's Word, where there's no teaching and preaching and discipleship in God's Word, the people will surely perish. That's all I'm saying. The people will live like hell and abandon what Christ has called us to be. Now, I believe that we can accomplish this vision together in a couple of ways. A couple of ways. First, as this, we can cast a vision by desire. Isn't that right? Isn't that the truth? I see you shake your head, right? Desire. That's vitally important. We can cast this vision I'm talking about by desire. It is important because first and foremost, we have to desire the vision that God has given us. What am I saying? We have to have a desire for this. We have to have it for ourselves as a church and for the lost. Do you have a desire for the lost? I'm asking you, do you have a desire for the lost? If so, how many people have you witnessed to over this last week, this last month? We have what it can takes to transform their lives and give them a new vision. God has put it in us, right? Look, we need to get this vision that God has given us for the lost. But first, each and every one of us must have a desire to seek God's Word in our own personal lives. It has to be there. You say, well, I have difficulty with that. Well, then start small. Give Him 5 minutes a day. Give Him 5 minutes. I have a little devotional I picked up at the hospital while I was visiting Randy. It's called The Minuteman. I love it because sometimes when I got to run out the door first thing in the morning, I'm running, I'm pushing, I can take 60 seconds and I can open up the Word of God. And you know what? That sticks with me all day long. It don't have to be this big, but you got to put something in. You can't put out what you ain't put in. Every one of us needs a desire. It's imperative we have a desire to seek God's Word in our personal lives. We must desire God's vision in our personal lives. And when we do this corporately, he will reveal himself to us through his word, right? And listen, I believe that out there in the world, there is a genuine desire for people to know God. They want to know more about him. They are interested in what God has to say. Listen to me carefully. Listen to me very carefully. I want you not to miss this. People are interested in what God has to say. And I can say that because when I go down to the Wellsburg Clinic, which I often do, to give blood to those girls down there, when I go down to get my blood drawn, they have questions about me. They storm up. Oh, there he is. Come here, Sandy, whatever, you know. When I get my hair cut every month, they're asking me questions about God. The same hair place that I quit going to because I couldn't take the language. God brought me back there during COVID. And now these same people are asking me all kinds of questions. You want to know why? Because they knew why I left. And you know what? They didn't change their language. But when I come walking in, they see something. They know something that's different. You seeing me? When I'm visiting people at the hospital, people there are asking me about God. The first time, couple of times I went in to see Randy, his roommate found out I was a pastor. And he says, hey, you're a pastor. And I said, yes, sir. He says, well, I got a question for you. I'm not even going to reveal to you what the question was. It's not appropriate for me to even tell you what his question was. But you know what? Well, that's not what the internet says. Good Lord. When I'm at the Kroger's checkout, this one particular cashier often has a question for me when I go through the checkout. So what am I trying to do? People want to know about God. People want to know about God. People are curious about God. Now watch, here's what I want to get to you about. But they are looking for someone who is real, somebody who cares, somebody who can give them real answers from God's word instead of your personal opinion. That will make you famous. They want to know what God's word says more than they want to know what your personal opinion says. So if you start out by saying, well, I think, well, then you should start out by saying, God's word says. So, church, as Christians, you need to have the desire to know his word, to share his word, his vision for our lives. Therefore, if you're going to make a vision board, on your vision board, you should probably have a picture of a Bible, right? And on beside that, a daily reading plan beside your Bible to remind you that you've got to get it in. A desire to know his word. Have a plan to know his word. Have a plan to know his word. Have a plan to know his word better than you do right now. Listen, I don't know it all. Neither does Zeke, neither does Randy, neither any of you. You may know a lot, but you don't know it all. There's always room for God to expand his vision of who he wants you to be. Get it in. Have a plan to know him better. Otherwise, what are you going to say when you're getting your hair cut and someone asks you about Jesus, or you want to know how God views certain behaviors or conducts in the book of Leviticus? Yeah. You know they threw him out of Randy's room? Oh, yeah. He was just being so obnoxious because he couldn't take the truth that I was giving him as truth out of God's word. I wasn't quoting me. I was quoting. People are looking for truthful biblical answers. Truly, they are. Not opinions. They're not looking for opinions for what they really are looking for is Jesus in their lives. You see, they're looking for Jesus in their lives. But the problem is most people are looking in the wrong places. They don't know how to find the real Jesus of Scripture. The real Jesus that can be found in the gospel of God's word. For instance, how about this? I got to lighten the mood, right? Ranker.com, an internet poll company, right? Published this list of everyday objects that look like Jesus. Now, listen, I'm going to read to you the intro just because I found it laughable. But this is a polling site and people were voting on these images. But here's the quote in the intro. Ready? Quote, Jesus, he's all around us. When he's not turning water into wine or knocking over tables at his local church community center, he's popping by to say hi to some of his most loyal followers. But instead of ghostly apparitions, Jesus chooses a much more convenient method. He puts his face on everyday household things. Check out this list of people who believe they saw Jesus in a random object and documented it for all the world to see. Whether you think it's out there, believable, or a mixture of both, there's no doubt that some of these things look just a bit like the big guy. Some are a bit of a stretch, but maybe that's because you're not believing hard enough. Vote up the best image of Jesus that you feel blessed, end quote. So now I'm going to show you just a couple of these things. And so here is Jesus in a sock. You got him? You see him in there? That's a great revelation of our Lord and Savior right there. Now here's Jesus showing up in a bruise. Now you got to look hard. I'm going to let you have that one for a minute. He's in there. You see him? And you're going to love this one, Jesus showing up in chicken feathers. You guys had this happen yet? No? Well, there he is right there. Now, we laugh, but in reality, watch, reality is people are looking for Jesus in this. People are looking for Jesus everywhere, even if they don't realize it. They are. They're trying to find Jesus any possible way they can. Why? Well, my belief is this. My belief is they are looking for the peace that only Jesus can give. That's what people are really striving for. They're looking for comfort. They're looking for reassurance that everything's going to be okay. The face of Jesus showed up in one of my chickens, so everything's going to be okay. You know what they're really looking for? Security. That's what they're looking for. Why? Because that's what we all want. That's what we're looking for. They want security in their lives now and eternally. But the problem is that people are looking for him desperately in all the wrong places. And those who have the right place aren't telling. Ooh. You see, people want something tangible that they can see and touch and hold, like a wrinkle in a sock or a chicken feather. But that sounds really silly, doesn't it? But listen, He can reveal himself any way he wants. Let's just put it out there. But God does not usually reveal himself through a deformity. He reveals himself normally through his word. He reveals himself through his word, through his Holy Spirit manifested in the man Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verse 14 says this, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the one, as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And you know what? You know something, open door? Here's what I know. We have that vision. We have that revelation. We have the Word of God. I am confident that I tried to stick to the text. I am confident that the teachers that we have here tried to stick to the Word of God and teach the Word of God. We have this. We know it. Trust me, I've listened to other people from other. We know this. We may not be the smartest light bulb in the pack, but I'm going to tell you we're not the dimmest. We know it here. We know the Word of God. We have it. And the proof of it is not displayed in a bruise. The proof of it is not displayed in a bruise. The proof of Jesus Christ is in our hearts. That's where our desire comes from. It's displayed in our hearts. Therefore, right, because of that, we should desire more of His Word in our hearts so that we are careful not to perish. We should desire more of it so that we're not to perish. Do you know that almost every seminary right now, that all the new applicants going into to pastor school or theology, they're telling them to have dual, what's it called? Yeah, but it's dual major. They're telling all the pastors to be dual majored because they're going to be bivocational. Churches are going to deplete to the point that a church cannot support a full-time pastor. All the seminaries are doing it. In fact, if you was at our annual meeting at the state, that we have a partnership with a Baptist college in Florida, which we're hoping one of our people here are going to get to go to that. I hope a lot of you can go to it. But they said from the pulpit, from the top, Eric Ramsey said, they're encouraging you to have a dual major because within 5 years, most churches are not going to be able to support a pastor. Why? Why? There you have it. We're not doing what God has called us to do, right? We have to encounter, we need to encounter a world who we know is seeking Jesus. Listen, we can touch them. We can help them. But our heart has to be filled with the Word of God. Because listen to me, you can't give what you don't. And then we can reveal, listen, once we know it, we can reveal the true Jesus that lives in us and through us. And not in a sock or a chicken feather or some medallion hanging from your rearview mirror. Jesus isn't in that. Jesus is in here. But you know what? You know who doesn't want that revelation out there? Satan. Because who do you think deceives these people into thinking that a wrinkle in a sock will give them comfort and reassurance and some sort of security? It is Satan who wants you to think that Jesus is popping by to say hi to some of his most loyal followers. Listen, you and I, listen, we know the truth. We know the truth. We know what true joy is. We know what happiness in the Lord is. No matter which way it goes, it's a win-win situation for me. We know what real assurance, real comfort, what real hope, and that feeling that everything is going to be okay is. We know that it all comes from God's Word. And because we're in relationship with Christ, He gives us that reassurance in His Word that it's going to work out. It's going to be a win-win. And listen to me. You know this. You know this. When God is revealed to our hearts, it's always through His Word. It is His Word that draws and calls us to Himself. That's how He works. Now, in order to catch the vision, we have to have the desire to get the Word in so that we can get the Word of God out to the perishing out there. We have to get it in here so that we can get it out there to those who are grasping at false hope. We have a world right now who's grasping at a false hope. We must, as followers of Christ, reveal the true Jesus that lives in us. But we have to have a desire. We have to have a desire. And if you don't have that desire, I pray that before you leave here today, you will ask God to give you a desire to know Him in His Word better. In order to keep the vision, here's point number two, we need to be determined. There's a determination here. We have to be determined. Listen, church, from the very beginning of time, Satan has tried to stop us from having a relationship with God. Do you understand that? From the very beginning, Satan has tried to stop our relationship with God. We've talked about this before, all the way back to Adam and Eve, that Satan will do whatever he has to do to deceive people, to distort the Word of God, to distort God's revelation to that. He is all about getting in there and messing that up to keep people from being in fellowship in oneness with the Father. So as a church, as Open Door Baptist Church, as a church, we have to be determined to spread the gospel. We have to be determined to spread the gospel or we're going to perish. We have to be on purpose in spreading the word of God to a society that is perishing, a society that is rapidly casting off the word of God. Because listen to me, you don't have to look very far to see this. Just get on Facebook. It's imperative that we do this. Why? Because we live in a society where tolerance for everything is expected. Tolerance for everything is expected. And this is the ugly truth of our day. This is the ugly truth of our day. That if God's word says no about something, if you come out and with a definitive no, God says no about something, and we come out and say no about something, in a society that we live in, people say, God is a God of love. He accepts and loves everyone for just who they are, regardless of what they practice, regardless of what they believe. God loves everyone. God doesn't cast anybody out. We live in a society where the divorce rate in the church in the unchurched households are nearly the same. Which, by the way, according to the 2020 census, the divorce rate has actually declined over the last 10 years. Right? It's actually declined over the last 10 years. Now, we would say, look at that and think, well, amen, praise God, that's a good thing, right? That's what we do, right? But you don't know why it's declined? People aren't getting married anymore. Inside the church and outside the church. People aren't getting married anymore. They're just living together now. And we say, that's okay. But listen, God said it isn't. Now look, now you're mad at me. You're not mad at me. You're mad at God. God's not okay with it. God hates sin. He said that, not me. Don't get mad at me. Please don't get mad at me. I don't care if you do or you don't. It's God's word. But listen, He said that. God said that, not me. And he's, you know something else? This is just a real big revelation right here. Right here, buddy. It's coming. Right, God just gave me a big revelation right here. He's not picky about which one sin he hates. He hates them all. But we tend to place one worse than the others, don't we? Well, listen, I'm doing this, but they're doing this. No, no. God hates it all. And listen, it's hard to remain determined in a world like this. Let me say that again. It's hard to remain determined in a world like this because if you stand on the Word of God, right? If you stand on the Word of God, the world will attack you. There's no doubt about it. So expect it. Don't get mad about it. Expect it. I want you to think about this. If they attack Jesus Christ himself, do you not think they're going to attack the Jesus that lives in you? Because Satan, why? Because Satan's still out there. He's still roaming around, and he is alive and well, and he has been distorting the Word of God from the very beginning. Remember what Satan said to Eve? Remember what he said? What did he say to Eve? Did God really say? Did God really say that, Eve? And unfortunately, that phrase is alive and well today. And listen to me, Open Door. When you say, yes, God really did say, you better be prepared for a fight and you better be determined to give an account for what you believe. Because we live in a society, we live in a church age saturated with Satan's influence. We live in a society where everyone does what is right in their own eyes. You can see it. We're here. But listen, and this is a warning. This is a warning. If we as Christians are not determined to become intolerant to this world, if we are not determined to become intolerant to this world and the things against God, we will, and trust me on this, we will lose our rights as Christians. And it's happening as we speak. And you know where it's going to show up? In the falling away of the church. Now listen and hear me on this. I want you to hear me on this. When I tell you to take a stand, I'm not telling you to be unloving. That's not our right. We are not to be hateful. That's not our right. But we are to be intolerant. We are not to be in agreement with what God says is wrong. And we certainly are not to join in with what God says no to. Because if we continue to be tolerant of everything, listen closely. If we continue to be intolerant of everything, we will become the minority religion in our own nation. A nation that was founded on the Word of God. And this is my personal belief. I believe this can happen. This is my personal thing. I believe this can happen. I believe that within a generation, maybe two, but I believe within a generation that the Word of God will be lost in America as we know it. If we're not resolved to take a stand right now, what do I mean? I mean this, that the Christian church will not exist as we know it. Everybody's putting the warnings out there. Yes, there will be a remnant of Christians. Oh yeah, God's got his people. But it'll be nothing in comparison as we know it now if we don't take a stand. Therefore, we who are calling ourselves Christians, we need to start knowing and living. We need to start knowing and living. Knowing and living. That's what I should have entitled this. Knowing and living out the Word of God. Our lives need to be testimonies. Our lives need to be a revelation of Jesus Christ to all who look and see. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 and 6 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." This one verse tells us the reason for our determination. This is the reason for determination is right here. It's a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So maybe this should be on your vision board as well. Why do I say that? Because we need to expect that there will be obstacles. Anybody here in a Christian life never encountered any obstacles? Right? Listen, there will be obstacles. There's no doubt about it. But our determination has to be greater. Our determination has to be greater because people are lost. People are perishing. And the time is now. And the time isn't for me. The time is for you and me. It's for us together. So my vision for Open Door in 2022 is to make God known. Wow, look at that profound thing. Whew, blew you all over with that, didn't I? To make God known. To know God and to make Him known. It sounds simple, but trust me. It sounds simple, but trust me. To pull this off in our society today will take all of us to be determined to make this happen. All of us. Listen, we already know Him. We need to make Him known. Therefore, my charge to you this year, Open Door Baptist Church, is that I want each of us to resolve to catch the vision by desire, to keep the vision by determination. If we don't desire it, we'll never be determined. But if we do desire it, we will be determined. My challenge to each one of you, each one of us this year, is to ask God to receive our desire and passion. Ask us for that will give us a desire and passion for His Word. We want to be hungry for the Word of God and have the desire and determination to tell people about Jesus Christ. You say, why are you getting worked up, Pastor? Time is closing in. You don't have to be a Bible theologian, know all the words of the Scripture. You can sense it. So in order to catch the vision, we must have desire. In order to keep the vision, we must have determination to be the best we can be individually in Christ and then to be the best we can be as a church. Don't give up. Don't press out. Press in. This means we need to be walking in and living in accordance to God's Word, not our own selfish desires. We're never going to get the blessing of God there. I want us to have the desire to share the Word and love of God with others, with people who are looking for Jesus in many ways. Let's be determined. Let's be determined to lead them to the real Jesus. He lives in you. Let's be determined to lead them to the Jesus that lives in you, the one who lives in our heart, not in a chicken feather. And trust me, if this becomes your desire and determination, trust me, God will lead people to you. Trust me, He will lead them to you, but you have to be ready and willing, desire, willing to tell them and be determined to look for someone. Listen, New Year's resolutions are a traditional part of life, but it takes more than a one on the calendar to bring about real change. January 1st has no power to bring around real change. Real change begins right here. So this year, I'm inviting you to, instead of starting something brand new this year, I want you to consider take something that you already have to the next level. Take something you already have and move it to the next level. Christians, we already have God-given passion. We already have a desire within us. We do. I'm telling you, we already have it in us to some degree, to some level, or you could have not said yes to Jesus Christ without it. So you have some passion because you said yes to Christ. But how deep is that desire? How strong is that determination? How far are you willing to go? How far are you going to allow God to use you? How determined are we together, united as a church, as a body of believers together, to tell others of Jesus Christ? How determined are we? Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 says that we are to stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Look what it says, one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Told you God had a vision board. Told you He had one. This is God's plan for us. And if we follow the plan, how can we fail? Think about it. If we're following God's plan the way He wants us to do it, then He will bless us. Therefore, it is my spiritual resolution this year. Remember, resolution means to be firmly determined. And that is my vision. My vision is to be determined. My vision means the ability to think about or plan a future with imagination or wisdom. So I'm firmly determined and planning to build the kingdom in 2022. How about you? If we desire and are determined together, remember the verse I just read? If we desire and are determined together, and Christ is for us, how can we fail? Also, in this is personal rewards. There's personal rewards, personal rewards. There's personal gain. There's personal rewards to you in this resolution. If fulfilled, will bring an earthly fulfillment in your life. It will bring blessings in your life. If you've ever led anybody to Christ, you know what I'm talking about. And if you haven't, God has other blessings of joy and peace and kindness. But greater than personal, it brings eternal rewards that will go on forever and ever and ever. So let me ask you this. Will you make my vision your vision as well? Would you do that? Would you plan and be determined to know Christ better and to make Him known? I pray that you will. I pray you will. Do you want to know why? It won't just merely change this church. It'll change the world. You want change in this world? Here it is. Maybe your vision board could look something like this. Just something thrown together. Maybe your vision board could look something like that. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Amen. Amen. Yes. Well, if you're determined to share, God will give you the most unexpected avenues in which to do that. Trust me, He will. Like I said, what took place in Randy's hospital room the other night, like, I finally just, look, here. Your problem's not with me, it's with the internet, it's with the world. So, listen, God will give you a way if you're determined to find it. Listen, again, if we fail to plan, we plan to fail. So individually, this is individual, make a plan to succeed. Would you do that with me? Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that you never leave us without hope. You never leave us without a vision. Your word always supplies a path. And that path will be successful if we get on it. We do not veer to the left, do not veer to the right, but stay on the narrow road, that we would stay straight ahead and focused on you, Lord, that you will provide a way. We ask that you give that desire to us in our hearts, and we will be determined to carry out your word, your vision, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Maybe you need to come rededicate yourself. Ask God to help you with that desire.
We all please stand. This is the day you've made, so I will lift my voice and give you praise. This is the day you've made, so I will lift my voice and give you praise. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. Thank you.
you, Open Door Baptist Church. Again, Happy New Year. I know that God has great things in store this year because God's in control. So, all right? But I also know He has great things for us spiritually. But we need to do our part because He has an abound blessings for us. I know He does. So it's in us. But I also want to just take a moment to thank you all for the many Christmas cards, Christmas gifts, and also birthday gifts that I received from all you. I thank you all. I love you all. You're very generous and kind to me and my family, and you give us way more than we deserve. You really do. But that's who you are. And I love you, and I thank you, and I pray a very special blessing on all of you for this new year. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. God bless. Don't forget, no Wednesday services this Wednesday. No Wednesday services. Prayer meeting live will happen at 6 o'clock. Prayer meeting live will happen at 6, but no church services at the church.